We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you've tuned in to this weekly program of Words of Life. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. This week, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will share with us a sermon based upon Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 21, and the sermon is entitled, Creation Subjected to Frustration. Before the sermon, we will have songs of praise and a prayer before our Lord.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon his God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whatever may come, we'll take in here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home.
Please bow with me. Holy Father, we come to you in prayer thanking you for all the wonderful blessings that are ours. We are especially grateful for the salvation that is found in Jesus. We ask that you will help all who are serving you, especially strengthen believers who are facing persecution. Help them to share the faith of Jesus. Some of the listeners need your healing, and still others need encouragement as they face trials and tribulations. We ask that you will bless each one according to your will. And thank you for the promised return of Jesus, and we ask that we will be ready. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, Creation Subjected to Frustration.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Creation Subjected to Frustration. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Please listen to the Word of God. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the Word of God. We across this planet Earth have seen the devastation and frustration of huge natural calamities, such as tornadoes, or hurricanes, or droughts, or the like. Natural disasters impact not only homes and vehicles and businesses, but also take lives, jobs, and services that we take for granted, like clean water and electricity. When natural catastrophes hit, many people wonder, where is God? Why did God allow this? When we hear, for example, that children, the handicapped, the elderly, have drowned in floods, many ask, doesn't God care? If God is love, and He is, why are there so many tragic natural disasters? Does the Bible reveal any answers? Shed any light on these dark questions? Let's begin by considering the big picture, going all the way back to the beginning. God stated in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, in part, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Therefore, God rebuked Adam for his disobedience, for his sin, and all of mankind has inherited this sin nature. We are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, continue to fall short of the glory of God. Part of God's punishment is that the natural creation itself is cursed to disorder, decay, and disaster. And yes, death has entered the world. Not just spiritual death, but physical death. For those even here in the heartland of America, we can experience natural, not just man-made catastrophe, but natural catastrophes. For many that live in the Midwest, in southern Indiana of the United States, do you remember the tornado that roared through Clark County, Indiana, and hit the town of Henryville? At 3:15 p.m. on March 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2012, an EF4 tornado killed 3 people. The tornado was actually on the ground, according to reports, for more than 50 miles and destroyed much property, including some of the Henryville Public School buildings. Natural catastrophes will continue and even escalate in quantity and gravity until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Yet in the meantime, we should never, ever think that God does not care. God cares deeply for mankind and proved it about 2,000 years ago by sending his one and only beloved Son to die on a cruel cross for us, for mankind, even though we were yet sinners. And yet, because of sin, yes, this earth is cursed. By God, not by the devil. The devil doesn't have that power. God is holy, 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 and there must be consequences due to sin. It must be punished. And so, God has cursed the earth. Temporarily, but we remain in that cursed set of circumstances today. So, is our future on this earth only going to continuously be about chaos and calamity? Let's investigate. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says in part, our present sufferings. Here the Apostle Paul initially is referring to his generation, writing to the Roman church regarding his generation's sufferings of all kinds. Here the Apostle Paul referred primarily to the persecutions and hardships of the early church that it was having to endure. By extension, by application today, we have all kinds of suffering also. It can include rejection and ridicule for being Christians. We also suffer from the natural calamities of our bodies breaking down. We suffer from anxiety and stress that accompany physical and mental decay. And we add to that sufferings through the expenses and financial struggles that most of us suffer with. Yet Paul also wrote, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That is, the Christian's glory when Jesus Christ returns for us. We will instantly be transformed, glorified, changed forever. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 reveals a portion of this glory, which says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, that is, the perfect glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All misery will be exchanged for all the magnificence that is in store for the persevering believer forever. but we must persevere in Christ Jesus through all the miseries of this life and keep the faith. Moreover, so many people around us, not only in the United States, but around the world in all nations, are also dealing with all kinds of terrible calamities in their lives and in their families' lives. We need to share our faith in Christ Jesus. Not that it will cancel all of their troubles. It won't. In this life, in this age. However, trusting Christ in a genuine personal relationship with Him can fortify us through the struggles of this life. Not only fortify us, but provide hope for the future in the age to come. Hopelessness is a calamity in itself, but we who are in Christ Jesus have genuine hope for the future in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 says in part, "For the sons of God to be revealed." God deeply loves us and desires that we be added to His family as sons and, yes, as daughters of God. But this is only possible through repentant faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 20 says in part, "The creation was subjected to frustration." That is, by God, who forced it to futility, to a fallen state, because of man's sin. Sin has consequences to a perfectly holy God. However, by God's grace, sinners can be changed into saints, sanctified by the blood of Christ through obedient faith, and finally, eventually, glorified, in which our lowly bodies will be transformed to be like His, like Christ's glorious body. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21 says in part, "The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay." God, not the devil, subjected creation, but God will also liberate creation. Only God has this power, both to subject it and to liberate it. The natural realm will be renewed, regenerated, and restored. Eventually, we're talking about this earth, before the new heaven and the new earth. Really? Writing about this future hope, we find the words in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, referring to Jesus Christ. "He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as He promised long ago through His holy prophets." Consider the text in the Old Testament, for example, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 10, where we find these words, "The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Has that happened yet? Is the earth today full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? Well, no. So this is yet future, and there's no reason to believe that this cannot literally, physically come about. If God could create everything from nothing simply by saying the word, which He did in creation of the cosmos, then certainly God can also restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And not just Isaiah, but many of his holy prophets prophesied, predicted this restoration. The new earth will be brand new. This earth, however, will be restored. Consider this. 77 years ago, on September 2nd, in 1945, the documents of surrender were signed that officially ended World War II. General Douglas MacArthur, officiating the ceremony aboard the USS battleship Missouri, was the last to sign documents. General MacArthur took his Parker pen and simply signed his first name, Douglas. Then he passed the pen to General Wainwright, who signed Mac, M-A-C. MacArthur then handed the pen to General Percival, who signed Arthur, MacArthur. This was General Douglas MacArthur's way of honoring the two United States generals who had suffered severe persecution as prisoners of war, however, had persevered, and now they were allowed to share in the glory of the triumph over their suffering. Likewise, Paul describes Christians who persevere in all of the battles of this life to inherit glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 says in part, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And so, brothers and sisters, keep the faith. Glory is coming.
Never.
It is our prayer that you are a Christian. If you are not, please consider making a decision for Jesus today. You must first believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. The Bible also shows that people who believe are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and be baptized in water. If you have questions for Brother Johnson, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, please ask for program number 2213. That's 2213. Please write to us today, and may God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.